Onto the pre-classic, as we already mentioned, it was one of the craziest meets. We saw a few world records go down.
I can talk briefly on my race. Like, obviously, pretty shit. Pretty shit.
Sometimes racing a mile is like looking in the mirror.
I walked away from that race thinking, like, well, do I still want to do this? You know, am I invested in what I want to do? Do I have goals?
I really don't give a shit because you're my mate.
Other times, it's a fantasy you're not quite sure is actually real.
How are these women able to close like that when they're running world record pace?
And then because, just jump up and down.
But pushing the human physiology to its absolute limit always leaves room for surprises.
It's a goose?
Wait, you thought it was a butterfly as well?
I heard someone say it was a butterfly.
No, it's a goose.
Oh my God, because they all thought it was a butterfly. I'm like,
it looks like a butterfly.
Me? His name is the goose.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Okay. Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 194. We're very excited to be back with you all on this beautiful Tuesday. Oh my God, it's Tuesday today. Crazy, crazy.
It's Tuesday, isn't it?
I think it is.
Isn't it? Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Well, we have lots of fun stuff to talk about today, mostly a rundown of the Prefontaine Classic, which was, as per usual, a quite spectacular meet. We had a great time watching it. Ollie, obviously, is competing in it. Going to get into all of that. Going to do a little bit of chat about heat training today because we got some questions from our Instagram. Thank you so much to everyone who did end up sending questions. But before we get into all that, Ollie does have a lovely bean shout out.
I do, yes.
Triple threat.
Triple threat. I'll start with the one I got in my favorite place, Eugene, Oregon. Farmers Union is the spot that we usually go to. It was closed on the 4th of July because they were celebrating their victory over the British. And so I didn't get the chance to go the day before, but luckily I went with Nikki, Heather McLean, Sage, and Olivia.
But one of the birthplaces of the podcast.
One of the birthplaces kind of the podcast.
Really does.
I'm pretty sure Jason has spent maybe a couple of $1,000 buying coffees there. But a lovely man, and his son, came up to me when I was waiting for my coffee. He said, look, I'd love to buy you and the boys a bag of beans. Let us know what you want.
Wait, did he say and the boys?
Yeah. Yeah, he said and the boys. I made sure that it wasn't anything dark roast because I know Geordie hates that. So I made sure.
That's a communal. That's something that we've decided upon.
We've decided upon that communal.
I don't know how I got
we got a
dropped.
Lovely.
I mean, I do, but
just because you're the most vocal of it. I mean, we all agree, but you're the guy who defends it. Farmers Union coffee roasters. We got the Guatemala honeycomb, hot cocoa, caramel, apple tasting notes.
I thought they said Falcon on top.
Falcon.
It says if you see. A.
Yeah, it's,
I thought it said FUCK.
Living soil, FUCR, better than organic. I don't know what's better than organic, synthetic. Hans and Ian, thank you very much. And I think I was also told to shout out Ben for being fans of the podcast. Appreciate it. This will go towards our stockpile of beans that we currently have.
We do go through a lot of beans, to be fair, so it's not like the stockpile is that high.
No, it depletes quite quickly, particularly when we've had points where we've gone to the podcast and said, hey, if you guys are interested.
We get desperate sometimes.
Yes, and the other two bags, one of them is from my mother. She really thought this was funny. I'm probably not going to have this coffee, but my mom thought it was funny. She was in Cambodia doing a school trip with my mom's work and like helping out underprivileged people there. It's called Weasel Coffee. It smells. It smells. I think it's weasel poo that's fermented.
And like the ones where they've like.
That was my take.
The beans have been.
Just because
I can't read.
Has a weasel eating the beans and then also has a picture of what looks like. I assume his poop would be.
Yeah. But I think Geordie's going
to
be using that a lot. Or, you know, Geordie, you could just give it to your roommates and see what they think.
It's 40% weasel coffee, 60% premium coffee is what it says.
I don't know what that ratio is. It smells.
Oi, what is that?
It smells interesting.
I think Kate should be forced to
drink it.
To drink this.
Yeah, see, the thing is, my coffee snobbery comes from my mother. So she's done this as a joke.
Well, I think
she thinks it's funny.
I think we should get it back.
Why are we saying, we're assuming that it's bad. What if it's the best thing you've ever tasted?
Well, usually when I smell coffee,
give that a smell.
The smell is usually a good indicator of it's good or bad.
Where's the smelling thing?
Just get right up there.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Thank you, Mum, for the joke, the weasel coffee. That's hilarious. This other bag is very close to my heart. Up the road, there's a coffee shop that opened a couple years ago from an old place called, used to be like a little milk bar. It's called Flower. And my mum brought their beans.
This is back home in
Australia. I should reference, up the road from my place in Sydney.
God's country.
In God's country. It's espresso roast house blend, pairs wonderfully with dairy and milk alternatives, invoking flavors of caramel, chocolate, vanilla, and honeycomb. Shout out to Flowers, my favorite coffee shop at home. Locals in the Shire. I know it's a very busy spot. Apparently there's been, just issues with getting parking in the mornings. It's a Flower, but definitely check it out. They got the best pastries, the best breakfast sandwiches, and the best coffee in the Shire, in my opinion. So thank you, Flower. Thanks to the owner. He's a great guy, really nice guy. Every time I go in, my dad's like, oh, he runs a podcast about coffee. And my dad's podcast is mostly about running. And he comes over, he goes, oh, yeah, because this guy's traveled the world. He's gone to different coffee shops and he's learned what works best in each place and then come back and tried to build a place in Australia. He used to work at Grind, Morgan, for years. He owns a couple of Grinds.
Grind?
It's like a coffee chain in Australia. I'd rather be at Grind. There was a big thing where people would go.
Sounds familiar.
In different places. But he's a lovely gentleman and he's worked very, very hard. And I'd love to see the success of his coffee shop because one day I'd love to do something similar. But I'll give you guys some of these beans, but these are going
one
straight
to
my machine. If you're good, two beans potentially. But that's the coffee shout out. Thank you for the beans, Mum. And thank you, Hans and Ian.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much. And to round out the shout outs, we have a big happy birthday actually to Tom's dad, producer Tom, manager Tom, Wong Tang.
Mr. Wang?
Dr. John Wang.
Dr. John Wang.
Wow. Happy birthday. It's huge because Tom's actually he's coming to Boulder this week and he's going to miss his birthday because he's going to be here. So we would like to, on behalf of Tom and the three of us and Gus as well, we'd like to say a big happy birthday to Dr. John Wang.
Does he listen to the podcast? What are the?
I don't know. He's probably going to listen to this clip.
I hope he does.
He's going to listen to 30 seconds of this one at least.
Thank you, Doctor, for sharing your son with us.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
So, without further ado, I think we're going to get into a bit of Core 2 heat sensor heat training talk. First off, I think before we get into the questions, we should just do a little round of talking about how heat training is going. I know that we have a spectrum on the podcast of how it's going.
I'm guessing we're going on
all of us.
Let's start down here.
So we're starting at my end of the spectrum where heat training is intensely not a priority. It actually is because how you have little AC units? So my place doesn't have AC and it's on the third floor. It's one of these buildings that retains heat extremely well and the windows are positioned in a way in which there's no breeze coming in. So it's very hot.
So well designed.
It's so well designed. Luckily, I'm getting out of there. But the AC unit tells the temperature in the room. So you can see what the temperature is. Yesterday, when I was playing video games with my squad, particularly I was playing something with Kai Robinson and Joe Klecker, we're getting some dubs. It was 89 degrees.
Wait, is the AC unit not cooling down the house?
Well, I didn't turn it on.
Oh, so it's just...
Because he's serious about heat training.
Yeah, smart.
So what I did was I thought,
extremely hot.
I'll put the core suit on.
Inside the house.
And I'll wear it.
But did you though?
Wait. I put the core suit on and then I checked the weather and the temperature in the room without putting on the AC and it was 89 degrees. I put the core suit on. I sat down for 5 minutes. So much sweat dripped down into the controller. It broke my controller.
No,
so
it
I had
didn't.
To use the second one. Yep. Well, my controller was old.
I believe the story. 100%.
My controller was old and it was kind of fidgety, but the bumpers weren't working. The home button wasn't working anymore. And the sweat from my wrists were going into the controller and destroyed it. So my core suit was then fully removed. I went and had a cold shower and I turn the AC on. So that's my heat training so far.
Did you find out what your core temp was?
It was like
what would you guess it was? Yeah, that's probably
It was definitely in the 80s.
He's dead.
You're dead. You're He's literally dead.
Definitely
dead.
In the 80s. The core kind
of, that's where is that 80 Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Whatever the C is. Yeah, because then I checked it and it said that
either way you're dead.
It came up with this notification on my phone. It said, "Core Center, you have beaten George Beamish's heat acclimatization.
The leaderboards.
You're the most heat acclimatized person anyway." And then it just had a little message under it saying, hashtag smoky hot. So I guess from Core, thank you, Core. I am
smoky hot.
Yeah, smoky hot. You just went straight to 100.
Straight to 100.
Zero.
I am 5 minutes.
My plan is, I think Joe was talking about potentially doing doubles in it. So once I'm more settled in, maybe after London, and I'm kind of established, I might try and see if I can do some doubles, but I'm potentially going to try and do a double on Wednesday, Thursday in the suit, running down the creek path. So if anybody sees me in a Walter White
be
suit,
outside, yeah.
Yeah, just fair warning, like I am actually a serious runner and I'm really working on my core temp. And also the suit looks really nice to run in.
They'll understand.
Looks pretty nice to sit in.
It was nice to game in for like 5 minutes because I thought I was really getting some benefit there. And then all of a sudden my controller broke because of all my sweat.
Morg, are you feeling warm over there?
Yeah, for anyone who's listening, watching. I am in the suit right now. I'm feeling, I guess, warmer than I probably would be if I wasn't wearing it. But luckily the room for me, well, not luckily for heat training purposes, is pretty cool. There's a cool ambient temperature around here. So not really gaining the benefits that I'd like to be seeing right now. I'll check in on the heat strain a little bit later in the pod, but I think I'm sitting at a zero right now, unfortunately. But we'll see how it goes. I'll give some updates throughout it. But, oh yeah, there will be a link in the description to go get.
Link in my bio.
Yeah. Or in Ollie's bio to pick up your own core sensor.
Link in my bio.
And still check send it if you do buy it, send us an email and we'll hook you up with a Coffee Club beanie to help out with your heat training. But my heat training is not that different from Ollie's, to be honest. I have been, I don't know if I touched on this last week, but I've been in a stage of my training where I'm just like returning back to training, essentially back to a higher level of training. And particularly since because I only arrived back in America last week, my body was pretty fucked from the combo of jet lag, heat, because I was coming from winter, and then also just back up at altitude. So I think any extra heat training would have really put me over the edge. So I'm sitting at 6% right now. I think that makes me a rookie. I got that those entire 6% from one sauna session.
That's good. That's good numbers if you got like a high income. The top 6%. It's pretty good.
Top 6% income
he's
is
bottom
good.
6%.
Oh, yeah, true. Not great. But I did get an extra 2% from some training, but then I lost that. So yeah, I'm sitting at 6% right now, which I'm pretty happy with because I'm kind of playing like the long-term game with it. I'm not trying to get to 100 too quickly. So I'm pretty content. But yeah, someone else.
Ollie's impressed.
Someone
by
else
what he's
out of
just
the three
seen.
Of us is a little bit higher than 6%. George,
I am in the top 6% as of today. 95% heat adapted. Everybody, heat champion. That's what it is. And it's been hard. Once you get to 90, they really start cutting you off. If you have a day off, you lose like 3%. And
just then one day off.
Yeah, I took Sunday off heat. Like I obviously don't do it every day. Maybe. Well,
obviously, some
days you heat train without even trying, just because it's summer.
You just smoke.
Because you're gaming upstairs and you're in your AC,
no AC,
for example.
But
then some days I do try and get additionally hot.
So when you have coffee or tea, is it just like drinking water now? You're just so heat acclimatized that like even boiling water is just like, ah. Just water.
I do think I've been less hot at night.
Really?
So, like, I feel like a few weeks ago I was noticing the heat. Just because it gets harder to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if like it's been getting colder or if that's actually...
Heat adaption.
That's the only thing I've noticed.
Is your temperature in your room 89 degrees? Or
I don't know about 89, but it's pretty warm.
What do you say, like mid-70s?
It feels like it. I mean, I open the windows like at night once it cools down.
Do you get a good breeze?
Kind of. That's why I have the eye mask though, because it gets light. And I feel like I need the covers more. Like 2 weeks ago, I was just like lying on top of the sheets. But what will be kind of interesting, I guess not for you guys, maybe for Morg, is we did get some blood work done yesterday that will be interesting to see if it looks any different because of the heat.
Dude, our fucking, what is it, hemoglobin or whatever? This is going to be, actually, I don't know if that gets changed.
Exactly. Well, like we might find out. Is my knowledge of what it can do to your blood and maybe we can...
Our blood plasma is going to be out of this world.
Which it doesn't measure. It's like, that's not
unfortunately.
In my expert knowledge, which is not expert at all, and someone in the comments will probably know way more.
We have some very smart commenters.
Yeah.
We have some also not that smart commenters, no offense.
Hey, shout out to you guys. You guys are part of my crew, bro.
I don't know.
You guys are part of my crew, don't worry.
Is that the early adaptations is, like Morg said, the blood plasma volume increase. And that can happen really quick. Apparently like 3 to 5 days or a week. Like somewhere in the early time, mm-hmm. you can get like your blood plasma. Someone I think in the comments said it can increase by like 1 kilogram of blood. That's a shitload. How much do you have actually? Wait, me and Clicker looked it up. I think you have like 5 liters of blood, maybe 5 to 6 liters.
No, we have way more blood than that. Surely.
I'm not a scientist.
Really?
70% of us is water.
That's not, doesn't mean it's all blood.
Yeah, but like, you know, 30% blood. So what's that like if you weigh like, you know, one
question
something.
Numbers.
This
is a question for ChatGPT.
AI overview says 5 to 6 liters.
Okay.
I don't trust AI.
Is that 5 to 6 kilograms then?
Is blood the same density as water?
Similar enough.
I'll start trusting.
Let's not get bogged down by the details.
I'll start trusting that, George, when AI starts paying taxes.
Either way, a 1 kilogram increase is crazy.
Is it? That's like, could be like 20%. But that's probably from someone starting at not an elite athlete level.
Yeah. And so we're probably not getting
that. But that means if your blood plasma volume goes up that much in the first week and you get a blood test, when we measured hemoglobin and red blood cells, I think hemoglobin's a percentage. Right?
Yep.
So it'll actually go down if your blood plasma volume increases. You won't actually have less of it, but it'll be a smaller percentage of the total. And then if you keep heat training, like the longer term adaptations is your body will start to produce more hemoglobin and red blood cells to kind of reach that level. So then eventually you'll have more of everything.
Mm. Thank God we have George here to explain the nuances of the...
So those are like just the endurance benefits that go past beyond just being able to perform better when it's hot.
Yeah.
Nice.
And whether or not any of that is true or not, maybe do your own research because we're not qualified to give advice on any of these things.
Yeah. It's all right. Morgan and I are.
Yeah. We are experts actually.
If you guys don't feel like you're qualified, we can just say
you can just DM us. We'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's something as simple as, like, and this is, I think, how I would describe a lot of sports science is everything is really, really, really complicated in reality. And it's like, no one actually knows literally everything about it. But it's like, I mean, it's pretty straightforward that if you do some level of heat training, you're going to feel better in heat. Like, and that's something that, you know, the app is there to guide you along to do that accurately. And then that's something that you would probably be able to just feel. And I know, like, you kind of naturally experience that. Like if you think about how like your first, when it starts heating up coming out of winter, how much harder training in the heat feels like at the beginning of the summer compared to the end. But I think the beauty of the app is like you can do this in a more controlled way all year round and you can like make sure that you're kind of keeping that stockpile like up at a level that you like and get all those extra performance benefits out of it, which is pretty cool. So we'll continue with our training. Ollie and I have a lot of work to do.
We do, but I'm optimistic.
You gotta start somewhere.
I was thinking of sleeping in it. Is that dangerous?
In what? The suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
It looks like nice little pajamas.
No, it's pretty comfy, actually. Yeah. I feel like I'm about to cook up some meth. But we do have some questions from Instagram. First off, how much heat training are you guys doing a week? We've kind of already touched on that. But George, do you want to say like exactly how much you were doing to answer this question? Because you got up to 90% heat adaptation in 2 to 3 weeks, like pretty quick.
Very quickly.
I did. And that's definitely because I wasn't running. So it was easier to like take a bigger risk in doing a little more heat training than I would do because just lower risk while I'm cross training.
And it's more controlled, like it's easier.
And easier to control inside and on either the Stairmaster, the bike, whatever I'm doing. But I was probably just trying to be hot for like 4 to 5 days of the week and try and take like 2 days of not heat training. And that was kind of enough to get those benefits. But I would probably, like, maybe when I'm back training, 3 to 4 days a week of 45 minutes.
Well, this feeds into another question, which I think for us who are already in a program that is like essentially doing as much as you can without heat training, we have a question, which is, what workouts do you replace/add to run with this to do the heat training? And that is kind of the tricky part, right?
Yeah, like it is.
As you talk about getting into full training, because you have to be really conscious of making sure that you're rested for your big workouts, which mm-hmm. is because that is at the end of the day more important. So yeah, and Ollie already touched on this, thinking about like doubles and stuff a bit, but yeah, if you're talking about trying to get like, let's say 2 to 3 45-minute sessions in a week, how will you actually integrate that into our normal training week?
I would say, first off, work with your coach yeah. in how to best integrate it into your own system. But I think that's the nice thing about having the core stuff is you can see how, like, you don't actually have to do it all the time. You can just like focus on it a couple times a week, get the adaptations, and the rest of the time try and feel good. Like, I would never do it in a workout where I'm trying to feel good, because if you just you'll just be running worse. Like, it just affects your performance too much that like you're not going to get the benefits of the workout, so that doesn't make any sense. But if you're already having a hard day, then yeah, like Ollie said, that afternoon double of a workout day, for example, is quite a good time to do it, because you're already having a hard day. So you don't really want to do it on your recovery days, because you're trying to recover. You don't necessarily want to do it when you're working out, is my analysis of that.
Or do the opposite. Go to the workouts, dodge it, milk it, wear the suit, and then your doubles, just sprint your doubles. Just actually work out
just
your doubles.
Just feel really good on your doubles.
5-6 mile double at like 5 minute pace. Just sprint it and then just, you know, milk the rest of the workouts, and then your coach is like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden you're just like really good.
Yeah. Now I think doubles and workout days are smart. Cooldowns potentially, if your cooldowns are long enough, but they might not always be long enough. And then I think something which is a really nice feature of the app, which I imagine you'll be like more actively integrating, George, as you get back into like a more normal schedule, is also the passive heat training, because you can import your passive heat training sessions
nice
into
feature.
The app as well, which is in the sauna, hot tub, all that type of stuff. And that's definitely a way to, you know, do it while you're not training and get those benefits still. I think like technically you could get 100% heat adapted through full passive training.
It seems like you could, based on like I put in a sauna session last night and it gave me a good percent jump from just like what I would just normally do in the sauna anyway.
Yeah. So that's probably maybe even a safer way to do it as well, if you are like someone that's worried about the impact that it'll have on your actual running. So yeah, definitely. I think that's something that I'll be considering right now as well, because that is something that I can do. We had a question about how do you all adjust to the heat. I think we've kind of like discussed, and it's like, yeah, there's the protocols out there, and like the studies that they did for this, I mean, dude, I'm not going to pretend we're scientists, but like the studies that everyone bases it off, I think they did like 5 days a week or 5 days in a row of about 50 minutes, and they get adapted pretty quick. I think in 10 days, they get pretty close to full adaption if you do like full on. And I think sitting where we sit and knowing what we know, and knowing that there hasn't been enough full studies to explore all the different protocols, it's like probably less is more. You know, like you can be pretty cautious with it, and you can probably still get a lot of benefits of it. So that's probably, I guess, you know, we would just say be cautious, don't be crazy about it, because you definitely can cook yourself in it.
Yeah, you just do have to be pretty disciplined when you're doing it to effort and heart rate. Like, you'll realize when you're trying to heat train and you get hot, towards the end, like once you get to 40 minutes, I'm doing whatever, whether it's running, whether it's cross training, by the time I'm finished, I'm at a significantly lower level than I began to reach the same heart rate. I'm at like half the level just to keep the same heart rate. And same if you go for a run, you end up having to run very slow by the end to not be just like absolutely frying yourself and yeah. doing VO2 by the end of an easy run, pretty much.
Yeah. No one likes an overcooked steak. Medium well.
So good. We had a question is, what should my goal heart rate be in the sauna? Do you have, I've never really thought about that.
I don't have a sauna, you two do. So that's a question for maybe even Joe Klecker. We could get a call him on the line.
I feel like when I go in the sauna, I'm super unscientific about it. I'm just like, get it as hot as possible.
Just vibing.
Stay in for as long as possible.
Just vibing. Stardew like, Valley
till
from
my,
the sauna. Until
my phone gets too hot and it overheats.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, my sauna can't go any hotter, so I can't. Like, the only way I could get my heart rate up is if I started like doing star jumps in there or something.
Did you think about that? We had one. Why does it always feel like I'm about to pass out? Also, is heat pace adjustment real? Which George already said, yes, it's very real. If you feel like you're about to pass out, that's probably...
That's not a good sign.
Is that how you felt playing video games?
That's how my enemies felt when I was wrecking them until my controller died. Passing out, I mean, if you're feeling like you're about to pass out and you're dizzy, what do you think that could potentially be? I think personally, because I'm a big person of dehydration, I dehydrate quite quickly because I don't drink enough water. And I know these two fellas drink a lot of water. So potentially, like when you're doing, particularly if you're at altitude or sea level, I'm also not an expert, but from my opinions, that you should be drinking excess amount of water when you're doing stuff like that, because passing out is probably a sign of either dehydration or something.
Yeah, do you want to speak on, George, the protocol for that you're meant to do in terms of weighing yourself and sweating?
I think I made it up, but I don't really? Know. Actually, Clicker told me.
There's something you're meant to replace, isn't it 1.5?
That's what Clicker said, He got that from the core people.
Okay, yeah.
Replace 1.5 times what you lost over the course of the day. I thought and I did weigh myself one session.
Oh, it's over the course of the day, not just specifically in the session.
Yeah, because I told Joe that. I was like, dude, I did like an 80-minute session, half of it heat training, half of it normal, and I lost like over 5 pounds of fluid, which is like 2.6 liters or something, which if you're like using normal like bike-sized bottles is 500 mils. So it's like... That's like five of those bottles, and 1.5 times that would have been like drinking like 8 bottles in an hour. So I was like, and then he's like, no, over just like in general, make up for it. Yeah. There's no, I don't think dehydration training is a thing.
I don't think so either.
So don't do that.
Yeah. No, so you just definitely got to be smart about that. We do have a question, which is more just about like training in general in the summer. On super hot days, when you have shorter rest workouts, 90 seconds and below, how do you get your core temp lower? I find myself always overheating and on the opposite side of the track when I need to be cooled off. And I think what we would say is that in the summer, when you're doing, if you're doing a workout, especially with, I mean, any track workout, we're going to assume is quality workout. And if you're doing it with short recovery, combined with heat, that's going to be really hard. So we actually take a bunch of strategies to try like avoid the heat on those sessions. Like we're really trying to not have heat be a factor if we're trying to get a quality session in, because it is going to be an extra stimulus that is kind of out of your control and it will have an impact on you. So we've started training earlier in the morning, which everyone's really enjoying.
Particularly yard.
And then one other thing, which we don't do this very well, but I think this is like kind of a no-brainer, is that you should probably bring a cooler to your workout with ice and like towels. And like you should be, if you are like, let's say you have to train in some hot weather, like you should be cooling yourself off in between reps. Like that's definitely actually going to have an impact on how well you can run. So like,
do you know what I think we should experiment with is internal cooling.
What does that look like? Eating ice?
Eating slushies, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a no-brainer, really.
Because
brain freeze, though, guys, come
dude,
on,
dude.
Yeah, either intense, people make tough. There are like frozen gels out there. Like brands make like gels you put in the freezer and then you take to the workout.
An ice block essentially is.
Yeah, I haven't experimented these personally, but I would like to slash I feel like that's how you cool from the inside. Yeah. I mean, also just like cool from the outside.
I was thinking wearing an ice vest with those things in there. So then like when you're running, you just pull one out.
You eat them.
Bang. And then keep going. And then throw it at Dayton.
That'd be amazing.
Bring a 7-Eleven slushie to the workout.
Yeah. But like at the end of the day, I think if you're doing easy runs, like it's okay to do them in a little more hot weather. But honestly, ideally, like that's, you know, a lot of our talk already has been about how the app helps you like keep things controlled. And that's why like it's been so much easier for George to do it inside in a controlled environment. When you're battling with the elements outside and you're trying to do sessions, it'll get like, it'll end up having a really big impact on your sessions and you will have to adjust stuff a lot. So I think ideally you try avoid it at certain times in the year. Otherwise you're just going to have to really change your sessions, which I mean, you can get really fit doing that, but it's just, it's something that you really have to consider and it's kind of out of your control, which can be a bit difficult. So yeah. Final question. Is heat training still beneficial, if not specifically to race in hot conditions?
Well, isn't heat training the new altitude, George?
Yes.
So I would say yes.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. There's the blood work will tell you that the endurance benefits are pretty legit, whether you're racing in the heat or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just for blood, plasma, hemoglobin, and red blood cells will all get benefits from heat training.
Yeah. I think that's what all the science is saying.
That's but do your own research too.
Yeah. Some experiments.
Disclaimer, Coffee Club is not responsible for.
Yeah.
Boom. But that's it for our little heat training talk today. I think we'll probably do some more next week because it's pretty fun to go through all these questions and stuff. But yeah, if you guys want to get one, go through the link in Ollie's bio or in the description of this video / audio podcast and check them out on Core. Go buy one and then send us an email and we'll hook you up with a little beanie to help out your heat training, which depending where you are in the world, you may not need at the moment, but eventually you will. So that'll be very cool.
If you're in New Zealand, you definitely need it.
All year round.
Correct.
But on to the pre-classic. As we already mentioned, it was one of the craziest meets. We saw a few world records go down with these women looking unbelievably good after breaking the world records as well, which, I mean, to be fair, like when people break world records or win gold medals, they often do look very good after doing it. But just crazy performances all around. You know, you guys know the drill. It's one of the biggest companies or the biggest company forcing most of their best athletes to go race there. So you know, you're going to, and they set it up pretty well. So
they do.
Well, a particular athlete I roomed with had to race on a stress reaction. Otherwise,
whoa, that's some inside drama.
Can't wait for 20%. What that is.
Wait, is this public knowledge?
No.
It's not
public knowledge, but
tell me after the pod.
Do we like the stat?
It's something that like happens a lot because a lot of people have things going on where they have
so you're
to,
not going to say who your roommate was?
But will you tell us afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But what I think is like it's very much a...
Sounds like something I would do.
Yeah. Well, it's just something like, you know, we're the best. We're the most dominant.
It's written into the contracts.
It's America's track company.
Do we like the stat that says this meet was like...
No, I didn't like that.
The most point something.
Not at all. That was just for an annoying headline because they're like...
That headline was last year as well?
Really? Yeah, probably.
Same headline.
They said...
Before Paris and then Paris beat it on the points.
They said... I think they said that 2023 pre has the most, but that was technically a two-day meet. I was like, dude, I don't care. Mm.
Well...
Like, that's such a silly technicality.
The one thing is, you guys know how much I love Eugene and how much I love people sucking off Eugene. But one of the great things that I have not seen from previous years that I saw this year was fans. There was a lot. There was a lot of people there.
Nice.
More than they said it was sold out. It wasn't because there were a lot of empty seats. However, it was pretty full.
Well, it must have been, considering it was an afternoon meet, some of those seats in the stands would have been pretty spicy, almost unsittable, right?
They were technically unsittable, but the nice thing about it is the meet was actually quite short. And the reason why the timing was the way it is, particularly for like the longer distance events, is because of European time. they wanted to be able to show it European time. So then they had to be a lot earlier.
Yeah, pretty crazy they had 10Ks at 11. 12 p.m.
Yeah, 11,
they 12. They got real lucky that the weather was more mild than we've seen in Eugene in
previous years. This year was not bad.
It's impossible.
The next week it was in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So they got very lucky with the weather. I got a couple of funny stories about Yard. If you guys want me to crack into them.
Let's just go ahead. Why not?
Yeah, so the Yared Chronicles is he gets there and he doesn't like going outside much because he gets swamped. And mostly he gets swamped by people wearing a lot of Nike gear and he doesn't like that. But the funniest thing is there's two part funny thing. What part one, we all know who Rye Benjamin is, right? Jordy?
You do.
Morgan? So we were at pre-meet. And, you know, a lot of people come up and go, yeah, the goose, man. Good luck, man. Yeah, go crush him. Anyway, this guy's got like an entourage of people because it's Rye Benjamin. And he just yells out, Yard the goose. Yeah, man, what's up? Gives him a hug and's like, crush it tomorrow, man, crush it. And Yard and I are walking off and Yard's like, who's that guy? And I'm like, you don't know who the Olympic medalist in the 400 hurdle is for your country. And he's like,
Olympic champ, in fact.
Oh, yeah, Olympic champ. And he goes, oh, is that Ryan Benjamin? I said, yeah.
It's Ryan Benjamin.
he's like, no, I knew who that was. Like, no, you didn't. And then the other funny thing was, as distance runners, even if you're not from the US, even if you're not a Nike athlete, you have some knowledge of who Steve Prefontaine is. You have some knowledge of his legacy and why he's so big for Nike in particular and the whole meet surrounding it. Yara thought it was quite funny that they thought, oh, let's do a meet on this guy's death every year, like around that time. That's what Yara was thinking that meet was about, was just about him dying. And then the other thing that Yara thought was quite funny was, and this is why I think he lost, because I reckon the Ghost of Pre was pulling him back in that last 50 meters. You know the Stop Pre shirts?
Yeah.
Yara thought that the Stop Pre shirts meant for Pre to stop driving so he wouldn't die because it's a stop sign.
Bro's gonna fucking watch without limits.
No, because we were in dinner, and then he's like, "Yeah, so the Strop pre shirts, what's that about?" And then like me and like Olivia and Sage were trying to explain, like, "Oh, you know, it's like this kid was wearing a shirt at a meet, and then he took the shirt, put it on, and it was iconic, blah blah." And then Yaron's like, "Oh, I thought it was like stop pre from driving because he's gonna drunk drive and crash and die." And I was like, "Yeah, that's to terrible." Do with it. So the Ghost of Pre said, right, Yara, you're being a bit disrespectful. I'm going to hold onto your ankles for that last 100 meters. Yara is very much not giving a shit about Pre is in the sense of like what Pre is. Well, Prefontaine Classic, I guess, because he's just like, I mean, his favorite meet's Zurich. So for him, it's like, I wanted to win this meet just out of being a non-Nike athlete.
Yeah, fair. Well, shall we just get to just straight to the Bowman Mile?
Yeah.
Now that we're already talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we gave the little preview and we knew it was going to be absolute bananas. You came on last week and said the pace requested was 150. I think it ended up being like 151 maybe in the end or something.
They said 151.5 at the technical, which I think was smarter. I was telling people it was 150 and people were freaking out. Absolutely freaking out.
Just spreading
false information, which was actually fun because...
Yeah, it was a good idea actually.
Because Yared was like, just obviously he's very cool, calm and collected and he's very, very much there to just go and rip and he didn't care. But you could tell people were like...
They were serious chat. They were terrified of the world record too.
Yeah, and they were terrified of him, which they should be because he's just an incredible athlete and he's doing so well. So
totally.
And it was also great when he got they obviously announced Cole, who's Oregon Duck Olympic champ. So it went nuts, right? And then Yara got announced and everyone went really nuts. But then you could hear all these guys going, goose, and it was like super loud in the crowd. And it was like very like settling near the end of the cheer. And it was sick. I was like, that's
You know what I found out? And this might be an education for our listeners. Though I feel like our listeners already knew this. I don't know. Sorry, that's just our chair talking, right?
Yeah.
Dude, what the hell?
We have a new toy in the studio. It's a massage chair that we're going to use and it's talking to us right now. Alice, keep it down, please. So I was in a room of people. I'm not going to expose them. But Yara did his pre-race goose. And his everyone butterfly? Thought,
it's a goose?
Wait, you thought it was a butterfly as well?
I heard someone say it was a butterfly.
No, it's a goose.
Oh my God, because they all thought it was a butterfly. I'm like,
it looks like a butterfly.
His name is the goose.
Yeah, his nickname is the goose.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like a goose.
Well, how would you do a goose?
It's flying. Like,
how would you do a
like out here? Probably. It's like a little butterfly, like, and it's flapping. Geese don't really flap.
Doing
just
this
like,
before the race would kind of be like a bit of a, that'd be pretty crazy.
I would love to see him do that.
And I would also love to see him do it. Maybe we've got to talk to him about it.
So like, I wonder how many people in the,
I want to
like,
say most,
fans are going to think it was a butterfly versus a goose.
And because it goes like, it flutters away.
That's crazy.
He would honestly be pissed if people think it's a butterfly because he's really like.
I had no idea that this was like a chasm, a divide. Wow. I thought everyone just.
I'd never thought about it that
much. I thought
much.
It was always the goose, but.
I didn't think it was this deep.
That's very crazy. Deep. Yes, he's the goose, bro.
He is the goose. He is the goose. But his cheer at the goose at the end, that was sick.
It
was
I didn't think it was that deep because he always finishes it with a piece.
That's just him.
That's just him, yeah.
That's just shout out to the.
Shout out to everyone.
To the people.
Yeah.
You know?
That's funny.
But the race, it was, when we got onto the track, it was freaking hot.
And every race had like, not just your race, but every race had so many bodies on the line.
Yeah. 16, I think. So I was like, potential for a fall, potentially. But the field was very good and did nothing happen. But
You guys formed the... You guys have been doing this pretty well this year. You guys formed a very nice line.
Yeah,
not surprising when it's 151.
Not where I wanted to be.
Yeah,
getting shot out the back again. But anyway, I can talk briefly on my race. Like obviously, pretty shit. I was no excuses here. Just explaining like where I'm at. I felt decently tired leading into it, but then I felt the last 2 days I was freshening up. So then I was pretty excited. Got in to the race and as soon as the gun went off, it just felt like I just didn't feel good, which you're not supposed to feel good on 151 pace, but I didn't get into the position I wanted to get in. I got behind Grant, people moving around me. I was too far back. I just felt completely disconnected from the race mentally. And it was just an absolute shocker for me. And it was tough. I mean, I've kind of forced myself a little bit to try and be like, G myself up and get into it. But really, like, there's obviously an underlying issue here, which I need to kind of sort out. And it's definitely not a physical thing because my training's been great. And it really hasn't. I mean, yeah, I might have been a bit tired and maybe been doing a little bit too much. But overall, like, usually I handle these things quite well. And right now, I'm definitely not mentally locked in as I should be. So that's something that I'm going to have to discover on my own. I mean, I'm going to start talking to a sports psychologist, which will be hopefully very beneficial for me. And that's obviously a long-term thing, not a short-term fix. But I walked away from that race thinking like, well, do I still want to do this? Am I still very like, do I, you know, am I invested in what I want to do? Do I have goals? And like, obviously, that evening and the next morning, like the amount of pissed offness that I had in my head and how I felt about myself really told me that I do care and I do want to do this. I just think that right now I'm in a period where I got to figure out how to get that spark back, because I remember years ago, I was the guy that was going out. Obviously, it's a very different situation now. Everyone's running so incredibly well, but I was the guy out there behind Jakob or behind the top guys and really, really fighting for positioning at the top end of the race. And now I'm just kind of at the back. That's two races where I've been dead last, and it's not a great position to be in. And I know, yeah, I ran 350 and 351 maybe 10 years ago. That was a good time.
Pretty quick.
these days it's not good. And I mean, chatting to Dathan, like, we both agree that like my training has been heads and heels over what I did when I ran 347 and 329, even with an injury. So it's just about trying to find where we can get myself back into it in the mental game. So that's kind of where I'm going to be. I want to shout out all the people that wanted my autograph and photos after a terrible race. I was shocked.
We saw some really good coffee club presence out there on the socials.
I was shocked that, I mean, I'm not shocked about our fans with coffee club, but I'm just shocked about even the general fans wanting to get photos and autographs and the kind of messages.
You're an icon, bro.
The kind of messages I received afterwards were people being very much like, we know that it's a tough sport and you're going to get the, I get very, very aware messages that I really appreciate because usually I don't get messages like that, but recently it's been very, very nice. So I got all kind of chuffed about that, and I'm coming away from this race, not forgetting it, but trying to just move past it and say, I've got London Diamond League near the middle of July.
Two weeks.
Yep. And my body came off that race incredibly well because honestly, I definitely had more to give. So going to that race, I'm going to have to really try and figure out how I can put myself mentally in it. I think what's going to help me is there's going to be a lot of Aussies in it and a lot of Brits in it. And I think I race well against the Brits.
You race well, you could say, in the Commonwealth battles.
In the Commonwealth battles, I race well. So that's kind of what I want to put myself into. And Dathan has been, honestly, Dathan and I have had, obviously, like talks and discussions and setbacks with certain things, but his confidence in me is very strong that I can do something incredible. And if a coach has confidence in you like that, then it gives me confidence that I need to sort things out. So that's the section of my race. What do you guys think of the race? Because honestly, the aftermath of it, particularly walking around when I was with the Arrow, like people were just absolutely just on fire. They were stoked. They thought it was hectic.
Yeah. I mean, just quickly, my thoughts on your situation before the race is I'm so happy to hear that, you know, but I'm not surprised that the fans still love you and you're still getting great support, because that's how it should be. And like, we all know that you can be hard on yourself after these things. Mm. And
you try not to be right now.
And you know, you've said before, like, quote, people only care where you finish, something like that. Like, yeah. That's not, I care a little bit where you finish because that's something that's important to us. And I know, but in reality, I really don't give a shit. Because you're my mate, and yeah, I'd love for you to win. I would, but I also, you're still my mate when you come last. Mm. And it really doesn't matter to me. Like in our relationship, that doesn't matter to me that much. And I'm happy to hear that, you know, fans feel the same.
I thought you were going to have a go at me about heat training. I was like, fuck, I was going to, because it was hard at the track. I was like, fuck, George is going to be like, you should have heat trained, bro.
Just like, I care about all those things, but mostly like, we just care about you and whether you're enjoying it or not. And okay, yeah, maybe you're gonna enjoy it less when it's not going that well.
Yeah.
But you know, there's more important things on that one day. And we you know, we believe it's gonna turn around.
It'll all work out.
And
us and the Coffee Club Army.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll all work out. I mean, we've seen how people can't all have similar careers to Yared or to people that are just consistently gonna always be there, you know? A lot of people have ups and downs. I mean, I had a long cool down with Jake Whiteman, and hearing his kind of struggle, particularly for coming from world champion to just not being able to race, as you know, and compete and be the athlete he is, it's very inspiring to see his mental state and the way he is. Because that race, maybe for him, it looked like, oh, wow, that was 3:47. That was amazing. But for him, he wanted more, and he was very, very happy with where he is. But he said it's taken him almost 2 years to get to a position where he's like, okay, I can compete with the best in the world again. And people don't have that linear progression all the time. And I think between the three of us too, we've had, you know, successes and failures. And that's one thing about the sport is it's not, you can't hide behind anything. And it's a great thing when you can adapt and learn and progress in your own way. So I appreciate that, George. Yeah, it was tough, but it was great to see the hype around just the meet in general, and also like the athletes for that middle distance race. And we love Jingi, but even without Jingi in that race, it's amazing to see how hyped everyone is about how talented this group of guys are. Like,
yeah,
it's insane because they're all pretty young. I mean, Habs is 31. He's like the oldest and he's like crushing
Whiteman's
it right
now.
Whiteman's 30, yeah. Crushing it as well. But like just the young guys coming through, like it's becoming a event now that's extremely concentrated in just raw talent. So
no, it is, those fields are crazy. And this was once again like one of the fastest, I think the notes, fastest 4th to 15th place ever in a mile. So it's crazy, crazy deep. And yeah, a lot of people that we know really well, and just echoing what you guys are saying, like all different paths, different journeys to get there, but just amazing to see the level that everyone is at and pretty crazy. It was crazy to watch. I mean, there was a lot going on in the race. Yared at the front doing his thing, looking incredibly strong. But then, like, Lars coming through and getting the win, I think. I didn't predict that at all.
No.
I
thought Yared won when I finished. I didn't realize he lost.
It was in his very dramatic fashion. I mean, that's freaking racing right there. Mm. That's what it's all about. And yeah, this is a 20-year-old, I think.
Also, watching Yared drop Habs, who ran 3:27, like,
that's pretty crazy.
Like, that's crazy.
To be able to do that from the front.
My big takeaway was that Kipsang absolutely butchered that race. And I know that, like, there's one side of the coin where it's like, yeah, okay, he got right behind Yared and then he slowed down. Okay, everyone could have gone around him. But, like, at the same time, and I know you're in it, like, you could go around, but also you're running 55 second pace.
Yeah.
It's so much easier said than done to just the whole field to make a move around this one guy who ended up being an absolute roadblock.
Well, you know what the funny thing is?
For the rest of the field. And it's not his.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's not his.
Blame him. Like,
it's not his fault. He's a race.
That's the reality. Like, the reality is, when
I'm sure he wanted to run 3:45. Yeah. He didn't.
Yeah.
But, and it's, I'm not blaming him, but that's just kind of what happened.
I was at the back. I was with everyone with a lap to go. We were all there. And the crazy thing with that, I was explaining to mates and people that are watching, it's like, oh, but like, you know, you had this great close in Rome and you were able to come through on a 3:31 thing, pace, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, but you don't understand, like, you're in a race with all these guys and even if you're at the back, you're still running the same pace. You're still running the same pace. You're at the back.
It's not any easier.
It's not any easier. Like, if they're at the front and they're running 55 second pace, you might have been pushed back, but you're still running a similar pace. You like, making that jump from a 55 second pace, you'd have to run 54 to, like, kind of pass people. Like,
that's exactly it. Like, everyone's running so quick already that what you saw in this race was Kipsang started to slow down because he couldn't go with it, and then there's a split second of hesitancy from people behind him, and then the gap is already there, and then it's insurmountable.
Yeah,
and
once there's that Hubs little hesitation, like, it's so hard to then be the guy to bridge the gap.
Yeah, and Hubs tried to do it, and he's someone that ran 3:27 2 weeks ago, and I think you saw the effects of that a bit on the last lap. I mean, he still ran amazing, but I think, yeah, that gap opened up real quick.
Because then no one wants to be the guy to pull the rest of the field back to the front. Like, no one wanted to be it, so then they're all just like, I don't know, sitting around.
Yeah, and that's the first time.
They're still running super quick, which is crazy.
And still, the field still ran, like, the bulk of the field ran 47, 48.
Yeah.
For fourth place to 10th place.
I think Yared said that he was feeling good, but, like, started to hurt 300 meters out from the finish line. And then 100 meters, he's like, I need to stay on my feet.
Yeah, he looked incredible at 800.
He pretty much said, like, someone's going to get me at this 100. He's like, someone's going to get me. And he's saying, I hope it's not Cole. Anybody but Cole. He's like, in his head, because when you think about that, you're like, you're in so much pain. He's in so much pain. He's like, I just got to get to the line.
I loved Yared's interview about talking about, he was like, the whole plan was to go for it no matter what, like, see how fast you run, whether it's a world record or not. And then he said, he was like, yeah, pretty much died harder than I ever had before. And he was like, if I saw someone running that slow in the last 100, I would also try and catch them on the line.
Yeah.
So he gave, like, full credit to the guys coming up behind. But,
well, Laros, you can see him. He was like, if you watch, when I watched it, watching Laros's face, he was like, oh, I'm going to get second here. Like, you could tell he was just going for a good stride at the end. But then when he got to a certain point, 30 meters out, he's like, fuck, I can win here. And he just went and won.
That's how you get that last extra boost. Yeah. Like, your eyes light up. You're like,
if Yared looked like, I'm not saying this would happen, but if he looked a little stronger or looked a little bit more out of reach, then Laros would have just maybe not switched the gas off, but he wouldn't have been thinking about it. But you can see when he starts to think about, oh, I can win this.
And we got to give, like, so much credit to Lars's last lap and his last 200 in particular, because even though Yared looked like he was slowing down, he actually was still closing really fast.
He's still closing 56.
I think he ran 56.
Like, he still closed really fast.
Lars ran, like, so I didn't know what
he must have been 2 or 3 seconds back at the belt at least.
50, must have been like 52, 53. Yeah, I don't even know.
Impressive to run a 3:45. And so lots of good results across the board. I think actually someone who I thought had not the day they wanted, but still a pretty good day, was Cole. Mm. So he ended up coming fourth. So I think that's a step forward for him.
Mm. I do think, like, I mean, last year he ran 3:48 and then won the Olympics. And this year he's run 3:47.
Crazy thing about it.
He normally gets his timing pretty good. So we'll see how that develops.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Hobbs.
Hobbs?
Mm.
Hobbs was, what
he
did
was,
he end up?
He was frustrated at the end.
He was, everyone was just so hard on themselves.
Ninth?
No, Hobbs was 10th.
10th?
Yeah.
3:48 after running, didn't he run 3:46 at Millrose?
He was right with you.
3:46.
Six or seven. It must have been six.
Almost feel like it was six. I don't know. It was very fast.
Myers was like 0.02 off my road. I saw that. He was very close because he was watching the clock and I was like, I waited for him because if he got it, I was going to congratulate him. And he didn't get it.
0.50.
And he kind of laughed and looked at me and I was like, yeah, don't worry. It's not going to last that long.
But it was an amazing race.
It was incredible.
Yeah, we're excited to see you bounce back in a couple of weeks. Just keep your journey going, bro.
I'm defending champ going back into London, bro.
No pressure.
After two dead last races. No. I'm just putting people off the scent. That's the whole plan.
Yeah. Giving them a false sense of security,
and then I'm just going to try and rip.
It's like people have a false sense of security, but then on the flip side, it's like you probably have a false sense of, what's the opposite of that? Like
insecurity?
Yeah, literally, because it's like you're still running 3:31 and like you're still running 3:50. It's like, and like, obviously, yeah, you want to be at the front, but it's like, I mean, George just mentioned Colt running 3:48 and being Olympic champion. It's like the difference between people is so small now. So
yeah,
if you figure your shit out, especially at the right time, it's like it's much more about just timing now because, you know, everyone's at like that kind of level.
I'm excited for 15.
I was about to say, maybe you need a 1500. Because
like the Rome 15, like I just didn't get a good position, but I felt amazing. And then the last 300, I fucking ripped. So I'm hoping to be maybe more positioned up in the middle or at the front. And
that extra 100 is just,
yeah. Well, just, I just, the thing with the mile that I'm starting to get frustrated with as well is that curved bend start is not good for me.
That's different, yeah.
It's just not good for me. Because I feel like I'm not a very aggressive person when I run in the sense of like pushing and shoving. And I feel like when people push me, I was like, oh, you can just take it. I'll go around you. And then I realized, oh, wait, we're running 55 pace. So I can't go around you.
So you got to get more angry. You got to start running on some more anger.
Yeah, I got to ask the Brits how to do that because they're usually the ones that are pushing and shoving. So,
yeah.
But this will be the race to do it. Yeah.
For real. So, well, we'll do a kind of a bit of a, like this, the rest of the meet deserves a big review, but we'll do a bit of a speed run because we are a little bit short on time. But just across the board, I guess we'll go kind of chronological now. International Mile was
stacked too.
Stacked, super amazing. Stacked. Lots super of guys stacked. Running really, really fast there. Lots of amazing performances. People have just figured out how to run really fast in the mile now. Mm. And maybe another day we can delve more into like actually what's behind that. It's something that we often talk about, but it's huge for Ethan Strand getting a win on the same day that he announced his new signing. So pretty big for him. And he's going to be someone who's going to be really dangerous come USA.
Ethan Strand.
Very. Yeah,
so that's pretty exciting to watch. Had a crazy men's 10K, which I didn't actually get to see this because I don't know if you did either, George.
I don't think it was streamed.
I think it was...
At least not where I was
on
watching.
On something, maybe you could watch it on USATF TV. I don't actually know. But yeah, it wasn't on the mainstream because it was before the window. But it was essentially, it was the Kenyan trials. And then it was also, I think, the way the Ethiopia is selecting their team. Well, I said team twice there. The way that Ethiopia is selecting their team is based on whoever runs the fastest in the period, which I think it's going to be, I don't exactly know how it's going to work out because they all ran so fast last year. So I don't know if they're just going to go off last year's times because they didn't quite run quick enough this year. But regardless, it was super, super stacked. The one, seven people sub 27. Big shout out to Kurgat for everyone that's been following along his story. He was the top Kenyan finisher. So he's got his spot on the team after he, if you recall 12 months ago at this meet, he put in a real ballsy run, but unfortunately just missed out in the 10. He ended up making the 5, which was cool. But yeah, he's on top for the 10 for Kenya this year, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I think personally, at least, I was really excited to see Connor Mance because he's just been absolutely on a tear on the roads. But yeah,
sharp new haircut as well. He looked fresh.
Did he?
Yeah, he came out in the lobby and I thought, That's a quick look.
I've been
haircut.
Watching a lot of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and I'm really looking to see him on there. And he
just
hasn't
running past
yet.
Them when they're at the, like, the, I don't know.
Are the husbands ever on there?
Yeah, yeah, dude. It's the
I've never seen
dad
it.
Talk, bro.
Dad talk.
That's dad talk. Like mom talk.
Oh.
Like they're like mom talk, and then there's dad talk. So season two is over.
This might be another episode.
They're currently filming season three, but the show is so popular. It must be doing so well for them that they did a recap of season two special where they brought everyone back and in like a room together and did like an hour 40 special where they all like discussed and they had all the dads there and stuff. It was.
Do you think it's
electric.
Like making people convert to being? Do you think it makes people want to be Mormon?
I cannot imagine how much the church hates it.
They must be
the
really
worst
tired.
Thing for their brand.
Yeah. It's not a good brand. I mean, the thing, reality shows are massive, like Love Island.
But they're
right
getting
now.
Paid so much money to do it.
Like reality shows in general.
Maybe the church is taking a cut though.
No.
They take a cut of everything else, don't
they?
Well,
they take a cut of their income, so it would be. They would
probably
be
are.
Cut, technically. Passively, they'd be.
Dude, I don't even know if these people are classified as Mormons. Like, technically.
They're
I don't know how that
part
works.
Part of the community, but.
They are part of the community. I don't know how that works, but.
Do you know what one of my big.
I would like to see Connor Mance on the show.
Yeah.
Going away from the tin, do you know what one of my big predictions was? I thought Nikki was going to get Shelbo's record. In the 15.
Which is what?
Stacked race.
354.99. Nikki ran.
Nikki was.
355 for the second time. I think they've run 355.
They were pretty happy with it, I think. They were.
Yeah, I mean, that was another one of those just crazy 15s.
Halfway through, I was calling Jess for the win.
she looked amazing.
Was looking so good.
Jess looked amazing, but not quite as amazing as Faith.
Yeah. Faith's last 100, she looked like she didn't even care. She was like, I don't care.
This is what I wanted. This is what kind of I hinted at before, and it's the same thing with Chibet, with Beatrice in the 5K. Like, how are these women able to close like that when they're running world record pace?
And then just jump up and down.
Because we're at the point where, you know, in... I guess in a men's world record, you would think they're closing fast, but like in the mile, for example, dude, they're running even splits. Like they're not, they may be slightly negative, but like not really. The amount of negative split, the amount, like how fast they're able to run in this last 200 to set these mind-boggling times is just unreal. And yeah, we saw that with both Faith and Beatrice, and it was absolutely
sub 14.
Amazing.
First time.
First women sub 14. It's hard to comprehend that. So, yeah, freaking crazy. I don't even know what else you can really say about that. Great pacemaking from Sage.
Sage was extremely nervous. And like
big payday.
I don't think people would ever understand. Like, you're nervous for a race, but pacing, you're with a lot of pressure.
The world records on the line?
With a lot of pressure.
Imagine how much more nervous you would have been without lights back in the day. You'd actually have to be
harder,
like,
huh?
Yeah.
It must be a lot easier
now. Sage did really well. And I told Sage, I said, now like...
Sage is her golden ticket to world records.
This is a problem now. Yeah, it's a problem now for you, Sage. And she said, what do you mean? I said, you're too good at this now.
Faith's going to say,
I'm only breaking world records with
every
Sage.
Time.
And Sage is going to have to like race, like do it every single time. Sage is like, hey, they pay me.
Yeah.
Take
for
it.
For real. So amazing performances there. We had Olivia racing in the women's steeple as well. She ended up 13th, 9:17. Got...
The standard
and a step forwards for her, which has been good to see. Now she has a few more weeks to just continue that trend going. But the women's steeple is pretty fucking bananas as well. The world record almost got broken in that event with a crazy finish as well. So that was, in line with the rest of them as well. Just absolutely bananas. And I think to round it out, the women's 800, crazy stacked race, just so many bodies. It was a weird race to watch.
It was.
And one of the biggest storylines from our perspective was the kind of return to the big stage for Athingmo. And unfortunately, she didn't have the best day. She ended up 203, looking not like herself out there, I would say. She had actually a real good candidate.
Her interview
afterwards
was really good.
Which I'd recommend people watching because she's pretty transparent.
Yeah.
She's talking about refinding her love for training and racing, all that stuff. Like, not everything in there is I'm going to fully agree with. And I'm not trying to be hard on her, but, like, one of the things, like, they were saying is how hard it was to find, like, good races in the U.S. I'm like, the amount of good 800s in the U.S. is a loss. So, yeah. It's, like, not everything made sense, but I got to give credit to her, like, the way she seemed to be, like, processing it and the way that she, seemed to just, like, mentally be with everything when, obviously, we know how hard her situation would be.
Yeah, I respect that. I mean, when I went through the media tunnel, there were a few athletes who were trying to sneak out to not do media. A few high-profile athletes.
Who were they?
Sydney. She Like this, really? This girl who is trying to, I don't want to call her out too much because I understand like the amount of interview and pressure she has is insane. But this young, this young lady who's trying to do a job is trying to veer her into the media thing. And she's like, can I please not do this? Can I please not? Like, and she was like adamant about not. And that's the sad thing is like the media is still like doing media and press after it just seems like it really affects athletes. And I understand that because I've hated doing it, but seeing a thing do something like that, I think is a very positive thing for the sport because it puts a light to seeing that these athletes who are superstars, who are godlike figures, are also human beings that have tough times. So,
yeah.
But yeah, people were trying to sneak out of the outside. And honestly, if they were able to get out, I was like, respect to them, like the little cage in the side, like the bar thing, you just like trying to weave through. Yeah. It's like, respect that.
Crazy. So yeah, a bit of a quick recap, but amazing meet, and we don't even really have time to preview going into Monaco, which should be another amazing.
Well, George and I and Morgan aren't going to be there, but hopefully in the future they'll have us there for World Athletics commentary.
Just to hang out, race and hang out race in Monaco. Out. Maybe we'll be living there eventually.
Yeah, we're going to hang out with Charles Leclerc. Enough. Hang out with Charles.
That's a goal. That's a goal. We can work towards that. Boulder for now.
Eventually, Jordy can do looky likey work for Charles Leclerc. He's going to get a haircut.
Hell yeah.
It's the dream.
But I think that's a nice place for us to wrap up today. Guys, thank you so much for listening. That's been episode 194 of the Coffee Cup podcast. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye.